Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from snowy Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, celebrating their 15th year, Basic Training MedX out there in Scottsdale, Arizona, Populate Electronic Medical Records, specializing in podiatry and orthopedic surgery, and world-renowned UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader with a couple of our longtime guests. Paul Calloway, PhD. He's a personal development and sports psychology coach. He's a longtime golf physical therapist. He was the first physical therapist on the PGA Tour when they started that wagon. He's returning. Along with Mike McAleese, he's the owner and founder of SOMAR, School of Holistic Massage and Reflexology. He's a movement coach, therapist, and trainer. Then the sports doctor's in with some Dr. Bob wisdom, your emails. Hey, Paul Calloway for the 20th time, give or take a few. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Weil. I really appreciate being here.
Paul, give us some background on yourself. From your physical therapy to this big attention now into the whole mental game that you've been doing. Give us some background.
Sure. Yeah. Well, like you mentioned, I'm a physical therapist originally and was hired to be the first therapist on the PGA Tour. And back then, you know, back in the 80s, it was really just fixing problems that the tour players never had that kind of attention before on a regular basis to have someone really understand their issues and be very sports specific and customized to their needs. So it was a lot of treatment, but from that treatment and getting them back out to play, it became very evident that treatment needed to go beyond into prevention, injury prevention, and performance enhancement.
Yeah, these golfers were becoming big time athletes, Paul. You know, in the past they were golfers. Take a look at the size of these guys and the strength of these guys. It's a new world. You were a big part of that evolution.
Yeah, well, I, along with Dr. Frank Jobe, who was a world leader in treating injuries, he was famous for the invention of the Tommy John procedure in the elbow, and that just helped athletes tremendously not only recover from a terrible injury at the elbow, but it actually helped their performance once the therapy part of it was added to it and made that whole area stronger. But from that concept and really the biomechanics, the research into movement patterns, we really started to understand what muscles were involved and how to, again, go beyond treating the injury and really working into how to optimize performance, which then leads into the mental part because, boy, you know, the body's really important, but it still is, as I learned later in life. And with my own performance anxiety issues as an athlete growing up, I had terrible anxiety issues about performance and just didn't understand, had no training whatsoever, that the body really is, as important as it is, it's an instrument of the mind. And so that's where I really started studying that.
Yeah, probably three decades, Paul. I call it the mental game, whether I'm talking to sports psychologists, psychiatrists, mental trainers, sports hypnosis specialists for years. And it's interesting because golf was one of the first sports that started to pay attention to the mental game. You know, sports psychology scared all these athletes away. In all my work with my subspecialty in the world of figure skating, they were big into the mental visualization and all of these things. On the mental side, where, you know, general sports thought they were kooks, but golf seemed to, you know, Gary Player, some of these others, I think were paying attention. Although a lot of athletes thought we were talking voodoo back then, right?
Well, yeah, you know, there was kind of a stigma. Oh, there's something wrong with me. That, you know, why would I have to talk to someone about my emotions and my thoughts and, you know, that kind of thing. But you said a very important word, you know, visualization, you know, imagination, and starting to think about exactly what we want, setting goals, but truly having an identity, you know, that does not relate to your outcomes, you know, understanding the process of things that we do and focusing on that to stay away from judgment, you know, thinking about, boy, I just hit a terrible golf shot or, you know, whatever it is, you know, I fell on the ice. If you talk about, you know, figure skating, they missed their jump. And all of a sudden, they're the, you know, they think they're this terrible failure person, when in fact, you know, there's something to learn from that particular challenge that they just had, that particular golf shot, that can actually make them better if they frame it that way. So that's how we need to talk to people now, is not looking at it as a stigma, but it's actually something that is essential with regarding to knowing who you are and separating, as closely as they're related, separating the person and their performance.
Yes, I think it's become a very, very big deal. It's high science, all the brain science that's involved with hand-eye coordination, a lot of these different other kinds of methodologies, again, to enhance performance. You know, the my late, great sports psychologist colleague, you remember Jim Vickery?
Absolutely.
He wrote the book Mind Golf, and Jim would make such a big deal out of the point that you know, these kids growing up, they needed to continue to still have fun. But at the same time, also, he talked about this overdoing, over-drilling in so many ways to where the enjoyment. But he used to sum up the golf sport psychology, Paul, you'll appreciate this. He'd say the whole idea is, can that golfer forget the last shot he might have messed up when he goes to the next hole? He said it's kind of as simple as that. And then he wrote 10 books about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's right. We, you know, whether it's a three point, you know, long, you know, shooter in basketball, you know, long shot expert that all of a sudden goes cold, or in a slump in baseball, or, you know, you just literally get the shanks in golf. You know, you have to have that amnesia, literally, about, you know, that performance outcome, and literally get clear in your mind again about what the next step is to move you forward again.
Yeah, what's one of those words which was mindfulness, right? Somehow to be in the moment and, mm-hmm. and not be aggravated about what happened or anxious about what might be coming up. I think, Paul, one of the big points, you've always made a big point of it, is that these methods are trainable. These are things that we could learn, again, whether it's a businessman, whether it's a sports parent, whether it's a coach or the athlete themselves, if it's in sports. And there are methods, there's really a lot of learning going on. I think this is what was a surprise to people who thought, you know, that maybe if they could just talk affirmations all day, it would make a difference.
Well, affirmations, yeah, that's a part of the experience to help you keep your you know, literally your thoughts in the right place. But, when I was 40 years old, it was the first time I really began to hear from our, you know who this is too, Bob Proctor, and holding up the book Think and Grow Rich and the 13 success principles that were identified, you know, commonly among
the late great
business.
Bob Proctor, and with his theories for years with the great company Niken and his paradigms. He was 100 years ahead of his time, I think, in so many ways. Paul, what's the best website that people could find out about you and your new work, as well as what you're doing at the Academy?
Sure. It's very simply limitlesssuccessmentoring.com. Limitlesssuccessmentoring.com.
How do you see, Paul, the adolescent community? I know you've taught some of the top golf juniors forever, as well as the weekend warriors and even some of the superstars. But when you're talking about the sports sides of things, what kind of age groups are you looking to pay real attention to? 3 to 103?
Just about. The youngest golfer I ever worked with, and he's a college golfer now down in Florida, but was 4 years old. But when parents ask me that question, it's a great question. It's really, you know, when does a person, can they even start processing some of this information? You know, like when can they kind of sit still and focus a little bit and listen, but really experience. At the younger ages, it's very experiential. You know, I'm kind of game playing with them. You know, they're They're not thinking about an exercise mentally or physically. They're actually just doing some things that are fun, so that you mentioned the fun part of it early. We have to keep it fun. We have to keep it, you know, something that they see valuable. So, yeah, you know, generally, though, about, 13, 14 years of age, you know, up to whatever. My oldest client is 90 years old, so it doesn't matter.
And he's still slicing. Yeah, you know, I'm just writing an article for Lower Extremity Review called The Prodigy Sports. It was part of one of the chapters in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. This is the specialization very early situation. Again, think gymnastics, figure skating, golf has always been one of them. And in many ways, and you being a therapist, being so involved in that world, even with these developing players, you know, with the specialization, you know, swinging a club 1,000 times a week, and like our old colleague, the late, great Bob Guider would say, we got these repetitive motion problems by doing the same sport all the time. And I know in some of your writings, your programs, you paid big attention to that, didn't you? I think you guys called it strengthen the opposites.
Yeah, it's really just keeping balance. You know, it's making sure that, you know, even though golf, you know, speaking of golf, you go in both directions, a back swing and a forward swing. The forces are much different, obviously, in the forward swing versus the back swing.
You know, you mentioned balance. What was the name of that program you were involved with forever, Steve?
Well, that's the first book I ever wrote. Was called Body Balance for Performance. And
I knew it. I was trying to remember the title of that. Yes, but
yeah, good
that
memory.
That title is as absolutely pertinent today. Whatever sport we want to think about at whatever level, that word balance and everything that goes into it is such a big deal. I know the sports psychology side, are you going to be involved in the business world also in what you're doing?
Yeah, that's actually...
Can't help it.
I'm trending more and more in that direction. It's certainly for athletes as well, but those 13 success principles I mentioned and just being successful, you mentioned balance, and you mentioned Niken earlier, you know, the wellness company, and, you know, we learned
the
from
magnets.
That Niken.
Yes.
The magnets, but really just the energy component and how you can have a balance of mind, body, family, society, and finances. And when I ask people, when I first start consulting and screening with them, like what their needs are, and I mention that life balance, which everyone's kind of looking for, almost always what comes up first is either the finances or something with their body that isn't like feeling well. And so that's why I've learned that I need to also, you know, share with people and handle their interest and just having some more balanced finances in life and how to, you know, not spend more time on trading time for dollars and have leveraging and their time and resources through different kind of online opportunities and networking that way.
You know, since the pandemic, but of course before and definitely now, mental health's the biggest topic in the world. When these great athletes, whether it was Michael Phelps or Simone Biles, for example, talked about some of their challenges, and all of a sudden, you know, Jim Vickery, again, used to talk about, he didn't call himself a sports psychologist in the 80s because the word psychology scared people away. He was a performance enhancement consultant.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a great title in so many ways, as, you know, people learn how important it is on the sports doc. We talk a lot. I call it Paul the new medicine, which is, you know, number one, eat smarter. I'll let everybody use their own definition of smarter. Keep moving, whether you're going to the gym or whatever your sport or activity happens to be. But this big component, reducing stress, the importance of rest and relaxation in everything that you're doing and teaching has got to be one of the big bullet points of what you're talking about. Right, Paul?
It really is. And again, just getting that clear sense of who you are and that the pressures, everything's going to be okay, but also not feeling like you have to be by yourself and do everything by yourself. You hear about team these days. Everyone's got their team, you know, in all sports, whether it's Djokovic in tennis or, you know, it's Tiger Woods or anybody.
Tiger Woods should have listened to you. When Tiger Woods came to the Western Open, you were seeing him. couple of times I was talking to him, and you know, Guy used to say, you got to get these athletes' minds. We couldn't get Woods to stop jogging, lifting weights, and going crazy. And I remember those days. I know you saw him. You saw them all, didn't you? Nicholas. Yeah. Who were some of the greats that passed by your wagon, Paul?
Yeah, I worked with Jack Nicklaus. Of course, my famous memory of all time was working with him in the 1986 Masters. But
oh yes,
you know, it's Jack Nicklaus, Tom Kite, Ray Floyd, you know, just everybody, and then Tiger, you know, later on. But and they, you know, as much as I maybe hopefully helped them, I learned a lot from them, not only in their strengths but in their challenges that they had, and that's kind of what shaped, you know, what I'm doing today.
Yes, and that balance like you're talking about, because, again, the physical side of whatever somebody's doing to stay healthy. We got all these seniors running around. There was I wrote an article in 2021 about pickleball was physical. Half the world, no one knew how to spell the word pickleball. And we were seeing all these seniors, one injury after another. And the point was, again, the tremendous mental challenge, mental side, got such a physical side also. That's why we keep having you back. You can combine it. Paul, give us quickly again the best site they could find out about you and your great work.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's LimitlessSuccessMentoring.com.
LimitlessSuccessMentoring.com. Paul Calloway, PhD, Dr. Paul Calloway. Thanks so much, Paul, for joining us. We'll have you back for the next 20 years. And hold on, everybody, it's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor from snowy Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We want to welcome back another longtime guest, Mike McAleese. He's the owner and founder of Somar Holistic Massage and Reflexology School. He's also a movement coach, personal trainer, therapist. Michael, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
It's an honor to be back, Dr. Bob. It's an honor.
It's always great to talk soft tissue therapy, all the different exciting parts of healing, the world of massage therapy. Michael, give us some background on yourself and the school with massage and reflexology.
Okay, yeah, we have been a state-approved higher education school since the year 2000.
Wow.
I have been a massage therapist for 30-plus years. I was inducted into the Massage Therapy Hall of Fame in 2016. Been teaching reflexology for about 30 years as well. So it's been a while. I enjoy it. I love it.
Right. Yes. And our paths, of course, have crossed in so many areas, starting with the world of figure skating and the idea with the sports medicine groups that I was involved with, gosh, from back in the 70s with the great late Bob Guida. He was a pioneer in vibrational therapy, deep soft tissue, and making a big deal out of this with the best athletes in the world. And he was a real educator. So have you been. As the medical world, Mike, the sports world has caught on big time in the importance of massage therapy when it comes to recovery, as well as sports performance. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm excited about that, Bob, due to the fact that there's a lot more science and a lot more really hardcore research about recovery and soft tissue work. We're seeing that it definitely improves not only the overall general well-being of the person, but they get out back onto the field or whatever sports they're playing a lot quicker.
And you mentioned the science, and I know when you were on in the past, this is something that we said is a big point. The fact of the research and the science was showing. I remember a guy who would talk about that in the 80s going, where are these studies? And the idea of being able to add in our live radio, we love these dogs in the background.
I'm so sorry.
Right, that's not a problem. It's part of our, we add humor as much as we can. But the idea, Michael, as you saw the medical world, as well as the serious sports world, pay big attention, because these athletes really knew what was helpful and what wasn't. And I think the medical community has really, really come around. And I really favor the chiropractic community, which as long as I had chiropractic colleagues, they had massage therapists on their staff. I think they were innovators of your profession in a lot of ways, the inclusion of your relationship.
Yeah, that was always a big blessing when the chiropractic community actually saw massage therapy as a vital part of what they do. Now, you had asked me the question, where can people find the science with soft tissue? The Massage Therapy Foundation, that's located up in Evanston, Illinois, has a lot of the research there. And that's what a lot of it is what I go by. The Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals, which is an organization that I belong to as a massage therapist and an instructor, or as an educator, they also have a lot of the research as well. Susan Salvo, who is an author of some of the textbooks that we use, she has a lot of background with a lot of that science. So if people are looking for a lot of information, the Massage Therapy Foundation is where I point my students and my colleagues to.
Now, in the world of massage, it's become a big business. You know, where you have these major, with the massage envies, yeah. You've all, again, you've had chiropractic offices, you have salons and the beauty business. Do you find, Michael, that regardless of any of those organizations, if we're talking a licensed massage therapist, one isn't necessarily better than the other? Would you agree with that? Or would you say that there's specific areas that you want to be pointing people towards, of course, starting with something like the school?
Well, yeah, you have to have an education and the hours. And our program is a diploma program now since the last time I talked to you. It's not a certification anymore. That just means it's a lot more intense of a program, which is what I've been wanting for a long time.
And you're doing a lot of stuff online now. Besides people coming to the facility, you're yeah. also making these programs available. And you also, I think, again, to your benefit, which you've made, you know, the flexible, people could still work. They could still be going mm-hmm. to school. What's the best site people can go to find out about you and everything the school does?
Sure. It's just www.somar.com. We are probably the only school in the Chicago metropolitan area that does not require people to quit their daytime job or their job.
That's a big deal.
That's
a big deal. Was that your lovely wife Star's idea, or was that yours?
I'm going to give the credit to her.
Good.
I'm going to give the credit to her. I'm a smart man. No,
yes.
she actually came up with that idea to meet the needs of those people, those folks who really wanted to change their lifestyle, change their career, get a new career, and not have to quit their full-time job. Just, you know, so. But going back to that, we are one of the only schools in the Chicago metropolitan area, and I find that has been a big benefit. As a single parent, when I went back to school, I'm glad the school I went to had that kind of flexibility.
You know, the definition, again, of massage, and there seems to be, what are some of the main, you know, for the feel-good massage, the sports massage, et cetera, what are some of the main massage categories that you find popular today, Mike?
Well, a lot of people like to use the term deep tissue. They now classify massage in two different categories. We have the wellness massages, and that's where people will go to, like, a massage envy.
That's a great, important point. We've tried to push that on the sports doctor. On the wellness side, if you any human gets a massage once or twice a month, is one of the greatest things they could do for their body. Wellness.
All the way around. I mean, with the wellness massage, that's where people go just for relaxation. And we know that with massage, soft tissue, whatever you want to call it, we're working with the central nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. So just to get a massage just cuts stress down. And that's a lot of hard science behind that now. Now we know what massage or soft tissue work does because of the science. Now, the other part of it is clinical massage, and that's where folks who are sporting an injury, maybe a lack of range of motion on the shoulder complex or even the hip complex or even the feet.
Yes. Well, you guys are in the healing business. When you're talking about stimulating the tissues, everybody knows massaging an area, what it looks like, what it feels like, and you're really helping the fluids be exchanged. You're stimulating healing action in the area, reducing scarring. And this, again, has become something that I think medicine has really paid big attention to. And, of course, the reducing stress, if there's a bigger area than reducing stress in our culture, you got to find it for me.
Well, yeah. Again, just with the science behind it, just getting your overall general relaxation massage is beneficial. And I tell my students that because everybody always asks me, what kind of massage do I teach? It's basically soft tissue work. Whatever you put the name in front of it becomes the massage.
So. You know, when you and I were sealing all these figure skaters for years, and again, the 2000, I can't believe we're celebrating the 15th anniversary, man, of the Nathan yeah. Vileven Lysacek. As a 10-year-old, I put orthotics in his skates. 12 years later, he was the Olympic gold medalist. And we were dealing with, you know, massage therapy for a lot of these youngsters. What are some of the ages that you find still beneficial as parents and coaches need to learn? If you got a serious 11, 12, 13-year-old kid playing sports, whatever it happens to be, then massage therapy is a big weapon, isn't it, for prevention?
Yeah, prevention, that's the key word. And if a lot of parents, the kids that I have treated over the years, the parents, we've had to educate the parents on that.
Yeah, how's your sports psychology skills with educating the parents, Mike?
Well, you know, being a parent myself and having
there
kids
you go.
In sports, I kind of brought that to the table. But also, you know, just understanding that your child needs, you know, soft tissue work just to keep going. But the kids are growing, and we need to understand that. And a lot of my communications with the coaches, even the athletic trainers, I try to bring the science behind it and the common sense that they need to have, especially working with kids.
And again, the more serious that boy or girl, so it's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. There's an epidemic, everybody, in capital letters, in youth sports overuse injuries. Do you know that the time Paul was talking about Dr. Job and Tommy John surgery, and my orthopedic friends, they say that 20% of Tommy John surgery now is teenagers because of overuse. Think of that 13-year-old tennis player swinging the racket 2,000 times a week. So many times we would want to include that massage therapist as to try to keep these kids out of trouble, even at earlier ages, let alone the weekend warriors who might be hobbling in, you know. But when you got these serious sports, where you know, Michael, we got to get this kid back on the field, you know, next week. And his ankles are killing him and his knees hurt, et cetera, et cetera. So you're part of the teamwork, talking to a coach or a sports parent to try to educate them on giving these kids enough downtime. That's always been a challenge. If anything, it seems to, the pressure's been ratcheted up a lot of ways. When you see a 17-year-old in the Olympics, you know he was 6, 7, 8 years old when he started, right, Mike?
Definitely. I did have a client. Her parents brought her in. She was 16. She was a volleyball player, and they were very open to my suggestions. And this girl went on to play for the Olympic volleyball team. So I was kind of happy with that.
Oh yes, we work with the Olympians since the 70s. As a matter of fact, the commercial. There's a commercial now for the ancestry with Rita Crockett. She's now a grandma. Rita, I've got a photo of her. She had the highest vertical leap around the world with women, 38 inches. And we put orthotics in her shoes, man, a million years ago. But volleyball, again, there isn't a sport with more jumping many times than that. And many times, you know, we want to talk about all these areas. And we're going to be back in a minute or so with Michael, talk a little bit about the reflexology side of what he does. Everybody, it's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, podiatrist, is your EMR system slowing you down? Upgrade to Populate, the artificial intelligence-powered electronic medical records for podiatry practices. With an easy-to-use interface and simple workflows, you'll spend 40% less time
in your EMR while collecting 10% more. Switching to Populate is simple. With their top-tier support, visit PopulateEMR.com today. Start enjoying medicine again. PopulateEMR.com.
Speaking of commercials.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor, and we are having a great conversation with one of our fave longtime guests, Mike McAleese, the owner, founder of Somar, a holistic massage reflexology school. We talked a lot about massage in the first segment. I want to ask you, Michael, now, give us some insight. A lot of people, you know, reflexology and how it fits into health and wellness and with what you guys are teaching. Talk about reflexology.
Well, reflexology is the science of, well, it's like acupressure on the foot. I'll just say it's not a foot massage. A lot of people think reflexology is a foot massage. It really isn't.
Much more specific than that, isn't it?
It's very specific. There are points on the foot that correspond to the different organs and systems of the body. Now, for a lot of people who don't really want to get a massage, just coming in and having their feet worked on via reflexology is...
How long has reflexology been around, Mike?
It depends on what book you read.
2,000-3,000 years?
Yeah, about 2,500 years. It right. All depends on the book. But it's been around a long time. And what earlier in the first segment, we were talking about science. They did... the Michigan State University Nursing School, and I believe in 2012, they were granted some money to do a study on reflexology in women living with stage 4 breast metastatic breast cancer. And that was groundbreaking, not only for reflexology, showing that what it really does, but also with massage along with it. So reflexology...
Well, in the world, Michael, in the world of chronic pain, and we have experts on all the time with the challenges of the chronic pain, the autoimmune problems, what are some of the conditions that you find reflexology can be helpful in general?
I like how you put it, can be helpful. You know, headaches, IBS, any kind of neck pain, a lot of digestive issues.
I was going to say gut issues.
Yeah.
You never heard the word gut on TV when they were talking with drugs. Now you can't get away from it. And I think it's a great thing. Gut health is so important. So is that one of the areas that you found help? I'm coming in.
Yeah. You know, digestive problems. I mean, it's just the American, let's just be honest. The American diet is not the best in the world.
Yes.
With all the fast foods and just, you know, it takes a toll. So reflexology, even in that research study with Michigan State University, they found that reflexology does aid in part with nausea even and gut health. It definitely aids it.
And how about migraines?
Well, depending on the migraine, to be honest.
Okay.
Migraines... reflexology.
Do you find any connection, Mike, with some of the soft tissue or injury problems that you see and value in the reflexology affecting, for instance, that, you know, again, somebody's had abdominal strains or they've had low back, chronic kind of situations where maybe there would be a connection musculoskeletal wise. What's been your feedback on that?
My feedback is, I do find a correlation with that. With reflexology, sometimes we're able to pinpoint it a lot quicker and then bring it to the person's attention how soft tissue work can benefit them.
How about the autoimmune world, that big area where, again, you've got chronic kinds of problems? And how has the medical profession, Mike, accepted, like we asked about massage therapy, how's the medical profession, the internists, the primary care docs, attuned into reflexology at all?
Well, I found that depending on the hospital or practice, if they are open to alternative healthcare, I know Rush Hospital in Chicago, a couple of years ago, I spoke to their alternative healthcare oncology department, and they're, you know, to my great honor, there was about 1,000 doctors in the audience that I spoke about reflexology and the benefits of working with people with cancer. So they're starting to come around, and if they can, you know, when they're open to alternative healthcare, they're starting to send people to reflexology.
Well, you know, what's interesting is we've changed the definition or the definition word from alternative to complementary.
Yeah, complementary would be the word I like.
Yes, because that really says it as it is. Do you find that the aging population, the seniors, I work a lot with these baby boomers, with the Today magazine, some of our guests, again, besides getting pickleball injuries, but that the seniors also with their chronic problems, different organs benefit from reflexology?
Yeah, they do benefit from it. They definitely benefit. Over the years, I've seen that working with, you know, I'm a baby boomer myself, so.
Yeah, me too. Do you find, again, the mental component, the idea that this is, you know, science is starting to pay attention, been around, you know, it's like it reminds me in a lot of ways about acupuncture, which was considered voodoo, you know, decades ago, and then we found how helpful it was in so many ways in the complementary. And I think, again, chiropractic has been one of the professions that pays more attention to reflexology, don't they?
They're starting to a lot more. They're seeing that the benefits, and again, we're always going back to the science. All the research is showing the benefits of reflexology and how it can aid with the chiropractic adjustments or whatever the chiropractors do.
Did you mention, in a way, the reflexology almost like acupuncture without the needles on the foot?
Yeah, that's the way I like to describe it to people.
Is it uncomfortable? Is it painful at all?
Not at all. The style that I teach is more of a gentle style, and we have found, just like any kind of manual lymph drainage, the softer, the better. I've had the honor maybe about 25 years ago to work on a few professional football players, and when they came in for reflexology, they were surprised the benefits of it being so gentle, because everybody thinks you need to dig into the foot. And that's not true. It's just a gentle, because the reflex points are subcutaneous.
And affecting, what are some of the examples of the different organs that can be affected with reflexology?
Well, anything digestive. You're talking pancreas, liver, gallbladder, the diaphragm. I mean, it's a muscle, but still just helping the person to regulate their breathing strategy with reflexology. It's showing it's a lot more.
Do the gastroenterology profession look to the value of reflexology, in your opinion, regarding some of these gut issues?
Again, they're starting to, and it's a little bit at a time. When they start to see the science behind it, and they can read it, and they're more apt to actually refer somebody out. I know my gastroenterologist, but we talk about it, and he has referred people to me for reflexology.
Yeah, I know. Then the next time we have you on, we'll talk about the insurance world and how they're dealing with both reflexology and massage therapy. The longer you stay away from it, the better. Give us again quickly, I knew the time would fly with you, Michael, sure, the best website, find out about you and your work in the school.
Sure, it's www.somar.com, and they could reach me at school at 630-968-7827. If they have any questions, they can shoot me an email at info@somar.com as well.
And SOMAR is SOHMAR, right?
Right. School of Holistic Massage and Reflexology.
Great stuff. Michael McAleese, always a pleasure having him on. New stuff. Michael, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctor is in segment.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. We're back with the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix, answer a few emails. Again, everybody, I am getting back into the sports consulting world with the Sports Doctors In, where we will be doing some consultations that's available. I'm looking at myself as a quarterback, putting together, again, the team we had pre-pandemic, experts in all areas, psychology, physical training, nutrition, parenting, et cetera, where we will have consultations available to be able to recommend to the sports parent and or coach or athlete what kind of program they should be, could be on to further their career, to prevent injury, enhance performance. So you're going to be looking for those kinds of postings. We'll be putting together a YouTube promo on that. Again, the excitement with my new website, thesportsdoctorradio.com. Return guest next week, one of our supporters from Populate, Chance Rodriguez. He's the founder and CEO of Populate, which is a streamlined method of the crazy world of electronic medical records to get these doctors to stop burning out by having more time to spend with their patients and not spending forever on medical records. And then one of the world of caregivers, John Larson. He's one of the colleagues of Rick Bava with his baby boomers, talking about their Care Begay startup, the whole bathroom challenge of our seniors in the world of senior care, extended living. And talking about those topics. The following week, the Money Doctor returns. Francis Raham, again, the challenges with youth sports, traveling teams, scholarships, let alone the NIL world with some of these paid athletes. And we want to have Francis give us some input on all of that, as well as the importance to some of these sports families to try to prepare and handle some of these challenges. And then the concierge of sponsorship, Linda Hollander. She was just posting and talking about some of the Super Bowl commercials. Linda's been involved in the world of sponsorship for years. The recommendation of how to get them involved. This is something I'm continually working on. I want to talk a little bit on the Dr. Bob segment here that I stress a lot. We want sports parents and coaches to include. It's a chapter in my book, hashtag sports parents. We want your athletes, I don't care what their sport is, what their age is, what their level.
include strengthening your feet and ankles, whether it's working with rubber bands, other kinds of exercises, if necessary, see a personal trainer so that they can teach your son or daughter how to really strengthen those feet and ankles, and including working with tilt boards, balance boards, because we want balance training included. Bob Guida spent so much time with his athletes on the mini trams, on the tilt boards. And if they were a hockey player, they might be swinging a hockey stick. If they were a tennis player, they were swinging a tennis racket. Ball player, they might have their glove on playing catch while they were dealing with instability training. So include it with your young athletes. Feet, ankles, work balance. A few emails if we have time. Jen says, I'm a walker. I've been diagnosed with neuroma. Is it all surgery? No, it isn't, Jen. Many times we'll use orthotics and take pressure off that neuroma, which is an inflamed, thickened nerve, usually between the third and fourth toe and the ball of the foot. Symptoms could be numbness, stinging, cramping. Many people will say, you know, I feel like my sock is bunched up. There are non-surgical treatments very successful. Sometimes one or two cortisone injections or protein-rich plasma injections can get rid of the problem. So if your doctor said surgery right away, get another opinion. Paul said, my 11-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. She skates 5-6 days a week. Whatever we do, her arches continue to hurt. Paul, I've been using orthotics in figure skates for decades for that particular problem with great success. You want to see podiatry. There are orthotics that work great in figure skates. If you want, you could email me. We'll give you some options. This is when people will call me and we refer them out. Initially, you might throw a Dr. Scholl's support in there, a soft support. Superfeet, cut it down to fit. Superfeet, decades ago, was in the hockey world as well as figure skating. But the GOLD program is a prescription orthotic to make a big deal. Steve said his son is 12. He plays hockey. What do orthotics do in skates? They're all about alignment. The foot-ankle alignment, pronation, supination, is complicated. A skate locks the foot in a particular position that oftentimes causes excessive pressure in certain areas, back of the heels, inside of the arch. One of the areas, like I was just mentioning, for Paul with his daughter with her arches, as well as Steve, your son in hockey, is the excessive stress on the arch if we're dealing with flat feet. Now, Steve, whose son's a 12-year-old hockey player, wants to know about orthotics. If we don't have a problem, we're looking to prevent problems. Yes, alignment, stability, everything improves in skating with proper orthotics. This is very exciting. We've been paying big attention to this. Gosh, ever since Evan Lysacek won the 2010 Men's Olympic figure skating gold medal, he was 10 years old when we put orthotics in his skates. So the idea in skating, edging, balance, speed, landing, alignment, orthotics, very, very helpful. Check us out again. TheSportsDoctorRadio.com. Catch me once a month on Run With It out of British Columbia with Christine Blanche and with our old friend Lou Vickery, who used to pitch for the Yankees and Cardinals. Whitey Ford was his pitching coach with What's Your Racket? Sports Doctors in segment, everybody. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, BBS.